إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, the issue of dealing with difficulties, dealing with calamities, dealing with tests, trials, tribulations. I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu created us, and when He created us, He did not just create us and leave us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and made a plan for our lives. And this plan has got two parts to it. One is a part which is the qadar of Allah, which is written, which Allah knows best and which does not change. And the other part is the part in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us choice. So if we choose, if we make a particular choice, then whatever is to happen because of that choice will happen. There are some other things which, for example, our death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. Nothing will move it either forward or backwards. So similarly, other things which, the risk, for example, what Allah has promised will come. There is no way that will stop. It cannot decrease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not decrease it. And similarly, other things. So therefore, there are certain parts to our qadr which are fixed. The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew a rectangle in the sand with a stick, and then he drew a line from one part of the rectangle vertical to the other end of the rectangle, and then he drew it outside the rectangle. So there's a rectangle and the line goes straight through. And then he drew some cross lines on the central line across the cross line inside the rectangle. And then he asked the Sahaba, he said, "Do you know what this is?" They said, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Nabi know best." Rasulullah said, "This is the rectangle is your life. This is the framework that has been given for you. So this is your life. The central line which is bisecting the rectangle and going outside the rectangle," he said, "these are your aspirations and your desires and your hopes. So the hopes and aspirations and desires of mankind go beyond his own lifespan." And this is the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if people didn't plan and if they didn't build for a longer period of time, then there would not be any ongoing activity. So Allah wants to keep the world running, so He gives a person a lifespan of 100 years, but the person plans for 1,000 years. So that's the central line. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "These lines which are bisecting the central line within the rectangle," he said, "these are the hawadis. These are the calamities, the illnesses, ailments, accidents, losses, whatever it might be." He said, "These are the calamities of your life." He said, "If you pass one, you come to the next one." So these are written, they are written, they will happen. Until you reach the end of the line within the rectangle, until you reach the boundary of the rectangle, which is your death. So when we understand this, we realize that there are things in our lives which are in our control, and there are things in our life which are not in our control. Now, a lot of time and energy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may protect us from shaitan, gets spent on things which are actually not in our control. Shaitan makes sure that we spend all our energy and our focus and time on things which are not in our control, because shaitan knows that no matter what you do, nothing is going to change. So for example, shaitan makes us spend the vast majority of our time trying to earn and increase our income. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us sit in one place and it will come. It will come if it is written for you, even if you sit in one place it has to come. But the point is that the sunnah is to work for it. So there is nothing wrong in working for it. I am not talking about working for it. I am talking about getting stressed out about it, losing your sleep over it, getting into debt because of that, doing haram things because of that, trying to earn this income, you know, doing things which are prohibited, getting totally stressed out, ruining your health. Now, all of this, none of that is necessary. Right? Do halal work, do it with dignity, do it keeping the other things in your life. For example, your ibadat, for example, your family, the welfare of your children, your wife, your husband. Keeping all of these things in place and in mind, have a good quality of life, and then of course, obviously work for a living, do a business, do a job, whatever. Alhamdulillah, we should do it. I am the last person to say that should not be done. Of course not, we must do it. But not the other side, which is the extreme of it, where the salah is going, where family is being neglected, where you are not fulfilling the rights of your parents. Parents need you, you are somewhere else. No, I have my career. What career is that? Your parents need you, and your parents are actually in need. You know, physically they need you, emotionally they need you, and you say, I have my career. What career? What rizq is written for you is written for you. What career? This is part of the career, because part of the rizq is the dua of your parents, and you are leaving that to get some few dollars somewhere. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And that's because we don't understand this. So shaitan keeps us engrossed in that which we can't control. Now what can we actually control? We can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us control over Jannah. Allah has given us control over Akhirah. Allah has given us control over Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from Jahannam. Entirely in your control. How much Jannah you want, what you want in this Jannah, what furnishing, what garden, what palace, what not, everything is in your control. Write for yourself. We try to write our qadar for this dunya, which is not in our control. And Allah gave us the qadar for the Akhirah, which is in our control. But we don't write that. We neglect that. Because shaitan tells us, no, work for this. Whereas actually we are supposed to work for that one. And if you work for that one, you get this anyway. This one you get anyway. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote for you, made for you. This can't go anywhere. But we have to work for that one. Now that is where the issue of understanding this rectangle comes. So by all means have long plans and so on. But make sure that we understand what is in our control. The other thing which also happens is that, especially with regard to calamities, illnesses, accidents, even large scale, for example, what is happening in Syria or Yemen or wherever, a lot of time and energy goes and mind share goes in asking the question, why is it happening? Now the reality is that no one in the world can answer that question. Why is it happening? It is the qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is going to say why? Anyone who says something, it will be his theory. Right? Somebody might say, no, you see the people of Syria, their amal were bad. You know, they were people who were not doing good things. I have heard all these statements. La hawla quwwata illa billah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that, then you and I would be in a worse situation than Syria. Before you point a finger at somebody, look at yourself. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that, then you and I would be in a worse situation than Syria, because what we are doing in our own countries and in our own community, and this applies to everybody. I'm not only talking about me and Hyderabad or something. Everywhere in the world, which community is free from sin? Which community is free from shirk? Which community is free from doing all kinds of oppression? So before you point a finger at somebody and say that this is happening to the people of Kashmir because they are bad, this is happening to people of Palestine and this one and Yemen and so on, because they la hawala quwwata illa billah. That you have no right to say anything like this. Anyone saying that is a jahil of mutlaq of the first order. Only and only Allah knows why something is happening. What must we do? We do the best we can for them. We try and help them. We try and relieve their suffering and so on and so forth. So a lot of time goes in thinking about that. Similarly, with regard to ourselves, right? I was talking about, say, terminal illness or some other thing or accident or something. I was, why did this happen to me? What must I, and so on. Now, a lot of time goes in that. Nobody can answer those questions. No one can answer those questions. And then the problem with dwelling on those questions is that then shaitan takes you into a worse area, which is now you start blaming Allah for this, and you say, no, why did Allah do this? Why should Allah do this? Why only me, or why only these people? No, which goes off into an area which may Allah protect us, might actually take us into saying things which are kufr and so on. So the key thing to understand is, don't waste your time in all that. Nobody can answer that question. And if you look at the history of nations, I was saying, if you take yourself up and your perspective increases, not from one lifespan, but if you now look at 500 years, you look at 1,000 years, then you realize that the difficulties that some nations faced in their history actually strengthened them, actually made them more powerful, actually brought them into positions of leadership, globally speaking, in a historical perspective. Now, obviously, two or three, for example, the example I always give is, take Japan, for example, right? Or Germany, post-World War II. Both Japan and Germany were completely destroyed. All industry, everything wiped out. But within 50 years, they became global leaders in the economy, right? Major development and so on. Take China, for example. Today, China is at the peak of, in terms of manufacturing and so on. Absolutely nobody can beat the Chinese. Hugely productive nation. But if you look at the history of them, you find that they went through a period where one complete generation perished. One complete generation perished, was wiped out. Now that also is part of history. That's a very painful part of the history. People lost their entire families and people died and so on and so forth. It's a very painful part of the history. But that also is part of the history. But if you look at it further on, you say, well, this is the reason why these people became so strong. So I'm not saying everyone who dies, but how they dealt with that and what they did after that and how they dealt with the calamity and all of this is bismillahi ta'ala and bi the hidayat of Allah. The nations became among the most powerful and the most wealthy and influential nations in the world, even though a part of the history was extremely bad. So today we are seeing Syria and all these places, Yemen and so on, in a very bad way, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve their suffering. But we need to also look at it in the long term. Now obviously we cannot look at it in the long term because we don't know. We won't be there. I mean, I will not be there 500 years from now. Right? Whoever is there, if they read that history, wallah alam, they might find that, look, see, these are the people and this is how they came through the calamity and they became much stronger and so on and so forth, and now they are people who are hugely influential. So the same thing applies in terms of our lives. We have one calamity, we have one difficulty, we have one ailment, we have one terminal disease or something which happens to us. But that opens the door now for many other things, including our akhirah, including Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Right? I always ask Allah, I say, Allah, you do not need to give suffering in order to forgive. So forgive us without suffering, inshallah. So that's I make this dua. But if and when some suffering happens, that is tahura, that is wiping out of sins. So Alhamdulillah. So this is the issue of, and that's the reason why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is to say, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. He said, all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every condition. Whether it is on the face of it, whether it's a good condition or a bad condition, we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I'm not saying it is easy, but I'm saying that this is the purpose of knowledge and this is the purpose of this deen, that we reflect and we think. And this is what keeps us away from despair. It keeps us away from depression and, feeling despondent that, oh my God, why did this happen and so on. Because there's no answer to that. If you fall into that trap, then there's only, you just go from deeper and deeper into confusion. But if you don't do that, if you look at the knowledge that we have, if you look at the wealth of Islam that Allah has given us, then we say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. There is a plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I do not always understand the plan of Allah, but Allah has a plan. This is my iman. And this is what we do when we are faced with things like this. That we believe and we have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in His wisdom and in His plan. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatika.